Hello there, internet guys, gals, and everything in between. Welcome back to another episode of Last Pod Standing. I'm Tyler Mitchell, and sitting to my immediate left, as always, is my good friend Tyler Berry.
Hi.
How you doing, buddy?
What's going down, man?
Not much. We're sitting here on a Wednesday afternoon.
It's a muggy, muggy Wednesday afternoon. God, don't go outside. I mean,
In Indiana.
Just don't go outside.
Right.
Even though you're not listening.
It looks like it's about to storm again, too. Anyways.
It doesn't knock your power out like it did last week.
You never know. You know, that would be an interesting wrinkle to our recording process if we lost power halfway through. This week on Last Pod Standing, we are talking about episode 5 of season 1, co-ed baseball.
Co-ed softball.
Softball, not baseball. Can't really have, apparently co-ed baseball, it's not a thing.
Even though,
we've talked about how safeball, or how softball is a weird thing.
Yeah, anyways, it's very interesting.
This episode aired on November 1st, 2011. It was directed by our good friend, John Pasquin, who we have discussed previously as the director of many Home Improvement episodes, Jungle to Jungle, and the ever-popular Santa Claus film, the first one only, not the sequels. He directed many, many episodes of many, many other shows.
Yeah.
He's been around Hollywood. It was written by Kevin Hench, who eventually takes over as executive producer of the show for 78 episodes later in the run. He was a segment producer on both The Man Show and Jimmy Kimmel Live way back when in 2003.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
He sort of bounced around doing production jobs on other things before working on this show, and eventually he ended up co-creating an ABC sitcom called Cristela back in 2014.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I'd never heard of it.
On a thing, being
never
a thing.
Heard of it until I did my research.
I never watched an episode of it. It came out the same year as Black-ish first aired, so it was like
kind of a big deal.
It was a big deal because they were both minority-centric
shows. So Cristela was a show about a stand-up comedian. Sound familiar? Tim Allen?
No.
Cristela Alonso. That show, while it was canceled after just one season, was the first primetime comedy created, produced, written by, and starring a woman of Latin American descent. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, I've never heard of it, so there you go.
They didn't market it very well. They didn't market it as nearly as well as they did Black-ish, which is why Black-ish is still on the air.
Well, also, Black-ish it's a very well-written really
show. Oh, no, it's great.
I've only watched a couple episodes, but I really liked
it.
So.
It gets very good and very funny and very poignant to the times. Like, it's a great show.
So I'm going to start this off by reading the plot summary, which was written by a nameless copywriter at ABC Publicity.
All right.
Which is a word I can pronounce. Mike, also known as Tim Allen, must decide which way he will vote when the all-male outdoor man's softball team gets a mandate to allow females to play. Also, while helping a reluctant Mandy fill out college applications, Kristen must make some decisions about her own future. Mike hopes Mandy will go to his alma mater of Michigan State, which is not right.
Nope,
well
it's Michigan.
Done. Well done, ABC Publicity. Publicity, wah, wah. I can say that word. But Vanessa wants her to attend her alma mater, the rival Ohio State. So that's the plot summary provided by ABC itself.
I think the episode's a lot better than that plot summary dictates.
This is my favorite episode
it's
of the show
very
that
good.
We watched.
It's very good, dude. I gotta tell you, it stays my favorite
for a while
for the majority of this season.
Okay. In doing research, I found that IMDb does this thing called plot keywords where members of IMDb can add keywords to make them searchable on their website for things that they like. And I have to read all of these because it's great. This is something we're going to do from now on, going through every episode because it's fantastic. The solid plot keywords of this episode are softball team, paintball gun, reference to Mel Gibson, reference to Khloe Kardashian, college application, reference to Virginia Woolf, compound bow, and whining.
This is great. It's like community-run SEO for IMDb. That's really funny. I had no idea this existed until 3 minutes ago.
So, I mean, I'm looking forward to the next episode because they're even better. I don't want to spoil them for you.
Okay. I already read them.
Yeah, never mind. Great. I don't want to spoil them for the listeners either, Tyler. Thank you.
Well, it's not about them. I mean, wait.
Okay. So let's just go ahead and dive into this episode. We're starting off our cold open is the Baxter family at home, their beautiful Denver, Colorado suburb home, where my favorite character, Eve, is returning from a soccer game with her father, Tim Allen. And he's complaining about soccer.
Again.
Because what else is new?
This is a through line
it's
in this
show.
It's
a 0-0 tie, which is why soccer is America's fastest growing sport.
Sarcasm.
Just great. Just fantastic. But, you know, this sort of goes into this sort of dad teaching daughter moment.
Which I actually really like this. I like Mike in this. Whoa, sir.
Who's Mike?
I like Tim the Toolman Taylor in this episode a lot more than I've liked him in the four previous ones.
Yes.
I think what he's actually talking to Eve about in this first sequence, like standing up for herself, speaking her mind about what she wants, is great.
Okay, well, they're talking, and it is true, he's talking about if you want something, you need to speak up for yourself and all that stuff, which is a good life lesson. But they're talking about it in the context of her being a soccer player who wants to play forward instead of playing defense.
Correct.
And as someone who is a soccer coach, this is something that I wish more kids would do, come and talk to me about how things are going for them and open up a dialogue. Because what ends up happening is they go and talk to their parents, and then their parents will either call me in a passive-aggressive tone or send me a passive-aggressive email about how their kid isn't having the most fun and they want to try a different position. And I'm like, I understand that. If your kid would tell me that, we could, you know, try to work that in a little bit.
You're a coach, not a mind reader. Like, you can't know what everyone's thinking.
As someone who has been coaching for years and teaching at schools, I'm pretty good at reading body language.
Sure.
And the subtle facial tics of all of my students and kids that I coach. But that is no substitute for actual conversation.
Yeah.
And
it's hard when you're young at that age. I had a lot of trouble speaking up when I was the age of the kids that you coach, like 9, 10, and then also even up to Eve's age, like 13. Like
I had
a lot of trouble speaking my mind, speaking in general, frankly.
I was always a yes man
for
all
of
my coaches, and that I never grew out of that. That was something that I always was. But I never really had too many disappointments.
You also liked the position you played. You liked playing defense.
So it wasn't like I was being thrown into an odd position. Knowing that this is both of our favorite episodes, especially so far, it makes me happy that Kevin Hench ends up taking over as executive producer, because if this is the type of Buzz Lightyear we're going to get in the future, I'm excited about that.
And now that you threw his name out there, it's without going too much into it, I can tell you, like, I feel like he's a major reason of why the show has a huge sort of shift,
okay,
down the road, and gets better for it, and he's clearly a reason why.
Yeah. Jumping back into the episode, let's see, what do we got? You know, Tim Allen's doing his whole don't worry about hurting people's feelings thing. He has that line, if you're not hurting somebody's feelings, you're losing.
Right.
It kind of sums up what Tim the Toolman Taylor thinks he's all about in this show, even though the more and more episodes we get into it, the more and more he undermines his own worldview in a lot of ways, where he is the loving grandfather and he does give good advice to his kids and he's not just your angry old white man, even though that's how he wants to be.
Yeah.
That's something that was a really, really something that has become my favorite thing about the show is, if you turn on a random episode, like I did before we started this podcast, where I turned on the pilot and I turned on the season premiere of season 5.
Yep.
And I watched the cold opens of both of them just to get a feel for what the show was after it was canceled. And those two things led me to believe that the show would be something that I would loathe.
Mm-hmm. I remember talking to you about that, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not that, which is, you know, a surprise. A positive surprise. I don't want to...
No, definitely.
Can we talk about Tim Allen's shirt?
Sure.
When we come back from the title card?
Yeah.
I hate this shirt.
It's awful.
It's a fishing shirt.
It's definitely a fishing shirt. He wears a lot of these throughout the series, I gotta tell you. His style does not get any better.
I'm not hating on the style of shirt. I think it's more the color, and that it's only one color. Fishing shirts are usually two colors, right? That little pad is a different color.
I guess. I don't know.
It's just I'm not into
I'm not really into fishing fashion, I gotta say.
So Tim Allen walks in, grabbing some coffee, because what else does he do in the morning? Like the rest of us, he's just a good old...
Drinking coffee right now, and it's 5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere here. And he walks in, Mandy is whining because she's Mandy. And I was really worried that this was going to be a theme throughout this episode before I had watched the whole thing. Was this just going to be this girl noises theme? Because in the cold open, they were all... whining and doing all these things, and he's like, am I supposed to know what that means? And they're like, yes. And like, she, the first thing we get from coming back to the from the title card is her whimpering and whining about writing a college application. And I was like, is this gonna be our running theme through this? Is just Tim Allen doesn't understand context clues about the
doesn't
way
understand girl noises or whatever.
Yeah, but it, that was the last time it came into play. I'm glad they didn't continue on with that. You know, this is just her about her applying to colleges and how she doesn't want to do it. And he ends up having a pretty good line about they were complaining about living at home.
Oh, yeah.
And he talks about, yes, living in a palatial cage with free food must be terrible or something like that. And it that was a really good line.
I also like the line where Mandy walks up to him and she's like, listen, if colleges want people to apply to go to their school so bad, why do they make applications 20 pages long? And then just nonchalantly Buzz Lightyear's like, well, so, you know, some of the books they make you read are actually even longer than that.
Just a couple of them. That's kind of the whole crux of this.
Oh,
we find out that Kristen was actually a good student, which is something that we hadn't, that had never come up before. She wanted to be a doctor or whatever before she had her baby. And we've never really talked about her character pre-pregnancy before, except for Tim Allen's quips about how, well, you needed a man when you, that one time when you didn't have a condom or whatever that line was a couple episodes ago.
I love this part, which is like, I love that it addresses that that Albert Einstein thing that kids always used, like, oh, Albert Einstein never went to college. Why do I need to go to college? And Kristen's just like, no, that's not true. That's a myth. And it absolutely is a myth. He went to the University of Zurich.
Yeah.
That is a real truth fact.
And I feel like I need to state something for the record here because this Michigan, Ohio State thing.
And this is a through line throughout this show. Yeah. I'll tell you right now.
Great. This whole... I grew up with the Notre Dame, Michigan thing. Obviously, we live in Indiana. Notre Dame's kind of a big deal football-wise here.
And we went to, it's like, whatever,
feeder school. Cathedral High School.
We were called the Fighting Irish, for God's sakes.
Right. It's weird, because I don't have that with college teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tim Allen, college is important, because, you know, if we didn't have college, we wouldn't have college football. And college football has never... I know you love college football.
I do.
It's not my thing.
I really do.
I just wanted to talk about that real quick. And then we jump into the outdoor man.
Yes.
With our compound bow. And, you know, they're talking about getting the product out there. He wants the forest in Colorado to look like a scene out of Braveheart. Because, of course, Tim Allen loves Braveheart. Which is a movie that I don't particularly enjoy personally.
I find it to be kind of overrated, but I love Kyle's line here. When his first line of the episode, he goes, well, what's Braveheart? And Tim the Toolman's like, well, Braveheart, you know, with Mel Gibson. And Kyle just goes, oh, right, the guy from What Women Want. And I really like that that's the movie that they used for that, like, Kyle knew that Mel Gibson and not the Braveheart Mel Gibson.
If this show was made this year, it would have been, oh, that guy from Daddy's Home 2.
Right, which is a real thing.
Yes, there was a movie called Daddy's Home, which is not a porn film.
Oh.
And now there's a sequel, Daddy's Home 2.
Which you're excited about.
I think it kind of looks funny. I did not want to see the first one.
I
have not seen the first one.
I have.
I like the other guys. I like their weird comedic chemistry that Mark Wahlberg...
No, I'm with all of that. It's just that's
Will
not
Ferrell
a good movie.
Have. And yeah, the trailer just hits... The teaser hits the right buttons. I'm sure that it's going to be a bad movie.
Yeah.
But it might be a bad movie that's worth watching.
So we get into the A story of this episode, which is it's time for Outdoor Man's yearly softball invitational.
Right.
Yeah, and one of the things that I wanted to bring up, which I really love, and it's another thing that I feel like this is a theme that I'm saying, it's another thing that becomes a through line for this show, is they bring up the team that they're playing, their rival store, Ted's Tackle Box, which...
I hate that title. I wrote this down.
It's so bad, but what I love about this is the beginning of something that feels like sort of an homage to Gary's Old Town Tavern in Cheers.
Yeah, that's true.
And I just wanted to bring that up because, like, immediately when I was watching this, after I had watched Cheers, I was like, oh, dude, this is like Gary's Old Town Tavern.
I mean, that's an allegory you can make because you've seen both shows all the way through.
Yeah.
And I have not seen this. So
right.
I'm excited about it being that.
Yeah.
I have to say that...
It's a little more reserved than Cheers does it. Cheers makes entire episodes based on it.
Yes, they do.
But...
And it's typical 80s sitcom fodder, like, real stupid plot lines involving that.
There are a couple great ones.
No, Cheers is one of my favorite shows ever.
All those episodes are called Bar Wars, which is awesome.
Good pun. So there's this weird, I don't know if this is a realistic inciting incident.
Oh,
where they are forced to make the teams co-ed to have that permit.
Yeah, this was weird to me too. I don't quite understand how that could really be a thing, but I guess it is the Parks Department that controls the field.
If any of our listeners work for a Parks Department that is not fictional like Pawnee's Parks Department, let us know if this is an actual thing.
I did have a moment, because I've been watching, while I've been writing for work this week, I've been watching Parks and Rec. That's been this week's show for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have a moment today when I was rewatching this episode. I'm like, huh, it's like Leslie Knope probably called him. And
it's weird that I would never give the Parks Department of any city government a second thought if it was not for Parks and Rec.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't really like, and this is something that kind of goes through into the next episode too, that Hector Elizondo is sort of miserable because of women?
Yeah. There's a few episodes coming up where, as much as I love Ed in like the first four episodes, there's a few where like he ends up being my least favorite part of the episode, and this would be one of those episodes.
Yeah. So
he's got a couple funny moments we'll get to later in the episode, but this sequence it made me cringe a little bit. I was like, man, Ed, you're not doing it for me, buddy.
There's a pretty good dig at something that I hate irrationally, which is Ultimate Frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. I don't like that we end our joke again with a flippant phrase towards violence. Again?
Oh, but...
Like, we're going to make it look like an accident. I mean, I know they're joking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, it's still them resorting to physical harm for comedy.
I legitimately think that's every episode now so far that we've gotten a physical violence involving a blunt object reference at Outdoor Man.
I mean, listen, guys, I dislike Ultimate Frisbee more than most. Do I want to beat a man down with a baseball bat? Not particularly.
No, because I'm pretty sure you like your life enough where you don't want to go to jail.
Well, let's not go crazy here. I don't know if I like my life that much.
All right, so we come to...
The
secret ballot. So Ed and Tim the Toolman decide that they're going to vote on whether or not this softball team should go co-ed.
Right.
They decide to do a secret ballot.
I don't know why Hector Elizondo's Ed is worried about the guys in gift wrapping voting for women.
That was really weird. It's like... He's assuming that people in gift wrapping are immediately effeminate, I guess, is what I took from that, which is really dumb.
Yep. And they don't have... Do they have no women working at this place?
We haven't seen one this early on. No, we don't see one this early on.
It's kind of like how we don't really have very many black people in this show, which is something I'm sure you've noticed being... Ooh. A black man.
That changes. Though.
I know. I've seen the character.
Oh right, you have right,
on the show.
Right.
There's eventually a black man who becomes
and
a part
he's
of the cast,
great, and I love him.
I really am confused, and this is something that It's something I've heard from a lot of my family members who were a little older, that sports are the last bastion of male camaraderie. And we're two males. I think you would agree, mostly.
I didn't look at myself in the mirror today, but I think I'm still a
man.
You
have a lot of facial hair for a woman.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay. Do we practice camaraderie?
Yes.
Okay, so what do we practice camaraderie with?
We talk into microphones and play video games and watch movies.
So
and play
apparently those are not sports? Those are not bastions of male camaraderie.
Why does the whole thing is just like, why does it have to be a bastion of male camaraderie? Why is it not just a bastion
of camaraderie? It's fear of change. It's all that stuff.
Yeah, and
it's the angry old white man stuff that just keeps coming back.
Yeah.
And that, we get back into that later with Tim Allen's video, which is basically angry old white man talking about how he doesn't want women in his things and whatnot.
Yep.
Which is weird because we eventually find out that he actually voted.
Spoilers, but not.
Not really spoilers. Yeah. You've watched this episode. Or you're just listening to us talk about an episode of television you've never seen, which is interesting.
Great. If you are, hey, awesome.
I appreciate you
down,
for doing
if
it.
If you're down to do that, by all means. Okay, I do love the joke that we end this scene on.
I thought it was too easy, personally. But I understand why you like it.
Yeah, so basically, Ed is telling everybody how they're going to write down their secret ballots, and he goes, so write down co-ed if you want to play with women, or write down just Ed if you prefer men. And then like Tim Allen gives him this look like, what? And Ed just ends the scene on, oh, that didn't come out right, did it? And I it's an easy joke, but I thought it was pretty funny.
Okay, we need to talk about the layout of the Outdoor Man website.
Oh, it looks like a GeoCities page from, like, 97.
I like their fake Flash video player that they have.
Yeah.
Where there is a 3 fast forward and rewind, like, with it's super fast forward and super rewind, essentially.
It's not a great website. No, it's awful. It's really
bad. They didn't spend a lot of time making that
fair, to their credit, they did talk about how poor the website in the first episode. So yeah. I cut them a little slack, but it is still hilariously bad.
It looks like Amazon circa 1999.
Yeah, I mean,
basically.
Yeah.
I just wanted to lay that out. It's not my favorite website I've ever seen, but that's sort of on point with what's going on in the show. I don't think we really need to talk about Tim Allen's angry old man video.
I think we just should talk about the line that he ends on, which he basically just talks about how, you know, yes, women can do anything, but he doesn't want them to. And he ends the thing on, I want a world where women can do everything a man can do. They just don't want to.
Yeah.
And that ends the video.
Now go buy some tents.
Yeah.
Multiple.
Yep.
I'm always in the market for some tents.
Dude, I have like 40 tents. I just buy one every week.
Can you tell me a brand of tent?
Coleman.
Can you tell me another brand of tent? No.
Tent World.
The last time I think I was legitimately in a tent was when we went to Dick's Sporting Goods around 2008 when we were in high school and sort of just messed around in Dick's Sporting Goods.
Did you just get in a tent? I don't remember this.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
That was the last time I was in a tent, everyone. That shows you how much of an outdoor man I am.
You're not.
No. So, eventually, we return back to the Baxter household, where Mindy and Kristen have a genuinely sisterly moment.
Yeah, I really like this moment. This is legit the first moment that I like Molly Ephraim's Mandy.
Mm-hmm.
Not that she hasn't acted it really well, because she has. She's fantastic. But the character just, if you've been listening, the character has just not been doing it for us. This is the first scene where I'm like, oh, so Mandy does have a dream. She says she wants to be a fashion designer, albeit she says it in a Mandy way, being like saying she wants to be a shockingly young fashion designer.
And are you telling me that Mandy's vapid?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if she goes to college, she won't be shockingly young anymore.
Right. She does have dreams, and they're having a sweet moment. Tim Allen comes in and yells at them to stop fighting.
Foreshadowing. Way down the line. Foreshadowing.
What are we foreshadowing?
The Mandy thing, what I just said.
Okay. Great talk.
You're welcome.
they're not fighting. There's a joke about them knocking it off, about getting along, la 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 la. You know, we're going into college things, and he's trying to push her towards Michigan. He says, you're going to love Ann Arbor.
She goes, who's she?
And that...
Another easy joke, but me. I liked it.
It's nice and easy, the way I like it. That was unfortunate. Okay. I'm not going with that anymore.
Anywho.
So, Tim Allen is talking to his wife about how he had a frustrating day. He's snarky. And he says, well, maybe I'm working through something. And she said, well, get a bran muffin. And that was a line that I was like, yeah.
Vanessa has these lines in this show that just kill me. Like, one-liners that are directed at her husband that I think are just great. Like, yes. She's got some of my favorite lines in the show.
And then we end up coming to a line that we really need to have a discussion about.
Is this the co-ed softball team's name?
No.
Master Batters?
We're not talking about that. That's something else.
I just wanted to see your reaction to that.
So, Tim Allen has a line where he says, well, I thought he'd be such a good president.
Oh, yeah.
So, did Tim Allen's character vote for Obama?
Tim Allen voted for Obama.
Everything I thought I knew about life is wrong.
Yeah. I love that line because it's such a throwaway moment. And if you're not paying attention, it's just going to go right over your head.
Well, you also need to know when the show was on TV, because if this was a couple years earlier, it could have been Bush or it could have been Kerry or it could have been someone else.
And this was 2011, so it's before his second term election.
Right.
So clearly in 08, Tim the Tool Man voted for Obama.
I mean, that's a through line for a lot of people I knew who voted in that election that were Republicans who actually voted for Obama and seriously raining outside right now.
Wow. I'm glad I got here when I did, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. But that was a big thing where all these people voted for Obama, even Democrats, who were swept up in the hope and the change and all that stuff, and they ended up being ultimately disappointed by him as a president. Personally, I was not disappointed with Obama's presidency.
I was not
either. I did not agree with everything, obviously, because I'm a thinking human being. But, you know, that's just me as a liberal bleeding heart, so.
Yeah, I thought that was a great moment. Like, it gives us a little bit more insight into...
I literally had to stop it and rewind it to be like, no. He did not just say that he voted for Obama. That is not Tim the Two-Man Taylor thing that he would do on the show. I'm still loving the Tim Allen-Eve dynamic.
I adore Eve. Caitlin Dever as Eve is just so good. Continues to be so good. Like, right. Mike brings up that they need to have at least one woman on the softball team to Vanessa, and his first instinct, which I also like, is to ask his youngest daughter, who loves sports, to play. And Vanessa thinks that she's going to be totally disinterested in playing with these gruff, beer-swilling, as she calls them, old dudes. And Eve comes in and she's like, hell yeah, I want to kick these dudes' asses. Like, she's all about it, which Eve's my favorite character.
Eventually, Vanessa and Buzz Lightyear find out that Mandy did not write her college admittance essays. It was Kristen.
Yeah, because the essay is on her favorite author, Virginia Woolf. And
Mandy doesn't read.
Mandy doesn't read.
Anything.
And also it's Kristen's favorite author.
I also like there's Castle reference.
There's a Castle reference because ABC and 2011.
I watched the first four seasons of Castle.
I watched the first six.
Yeah, that's a show. I like Nathan Fillion. So.
Me too.
I like when they start grilling her on if she wrote them or not, and she's being all flippant you know, a little dancing around the issue. And then Tim Allen goes, spell wolf.
And she just goes, I don't want to.
Yeah. And they're like, she asks them, when did you figure it out? And Vanessa says, the first I in Virginia.
Which, that's another great line. That's another really good line.
It's pretty great. That whole scene is interesting.
I know she's very, like, ridiculous and ditzy in this scene, but this is another scene where I actually do legitimately like Mandy just because of the comedic value that she adds to this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's so good, and, like, her facial expressions, if you watch the episode, like, her facial expressions during this scene when she's trying to be, like, coy and play off the essay right. are great. Like, they, she nails it.
She's being Tim Allen.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, that's Tim Allen comedy, where he's like, yeah. I didn't do anything wrong, and then he walks out.
Yep.
You know, they're getting ready to play the softball game in our next scene. Ed learns that Eve is going to be playing. He's a little perturbed by this.
Yeah.
I guess, is how I would say that. Not my favorite scene.
No, I don't really like that they're talking behind Eve's back.
She's like, a 13-year-old girl. Parents will do that.
I know, but it's just, I don't know. I don't like this scene. Again, like I said before, I just really can't stand Ed in this episode. I think it's one of his weakest episodes, but it does...
I mean, he's literally plotting revenge.
Yeah, he's plotting revenge. He's trying to figure out everybody who voted for co-ed softball, and he's doing it through psychological profile and handwriting analysis, apparently.
I mean,
because why not?
I mean, it's a sitcom, so that plays. But it's just ridiculous. You know, they go out into the team. The team's all getting ready to play. He's like, we don't need to change anything. We can all be ourselves, even though Eve is here and she's a 13-year-old girl. And then
someone starts to try to tell a story about a...
It's not a story. It's the setup joke is the most cliche setup.
Oh, right, right. That's
so
what
a priest or rabbi and a very busty Methodist walk into a bar. Like, we're doing a walk into the bar like, joke.
Really?
Like, for real in 2011. It's not the 1970s.
No.
But, you know, Tim Allen nips that in the bud. Pete, who apparently gets fired in the next episode, by the way. He's the guy who gets fired by Tim Allen for stealing money out of Ed's desk.
Which is really funny.
I was like, Pete was just in the last episode and they fired him. You know, we go through this whole thing. Eve wants to pitch, which is Tim Allen's thing. So Tim Allen tries to nip that in the bud.
But he ultimately doesn't, because she ends up taking his advice from earlier, which is to speak up for yourself. If there's something you want to do...
Do it.
Say it.
Something.
Yeah, and she does.
And Ed gives her like a little trial by fire and says, you see that lamp on my desk? Let's see how close you can hit it. Yeah, how close you can get to hitting that lamp.
And she just crushes
it. She nails it.
Yeah. He's like, that's pretty close.
That was pretty close, which is his best line of the whole episode.
Yep.
It's pretty close. Knocked it off the whole table and bulbs fell out.
I like how smug Eve looks in that moment, too.
This
she's
is
like,
just...
She's like, fuck you guys. Yeah, he's like, this
so,
is...
Obviously, Eve plays in the game and kills it.
Pitches really well.
That's that whole scene. So, Vanessa is expecting Tim Allen to, you know, be a little dismayed by this. Because Tim Allen's usually the pitcher.
Yep.
But, you know, they have this discussion, little mini conversation about what it's like to have kids and how you get to take credit for everything,
that they do.
And... She goes, I bet there was one moment where you were proud of her when she was pitching. And he's like, every single moment.
Yep.
Like, are you kidding me?
Which, that's a really,
it was
really,
a really
sweet
line. And then we're coming up to the part of the episode that really got to me where they read her admission articles that or essays that she wrote about whoever her hero was. And it's her sister.
And it's
emotional.
Great.
Yeah.
And my favorite part is there's a moment where as they're reading through it, like you can see Mandy. You can see Mandy in the background watching them reading it. And it's just, it's a really well done scene. And what's great is how well framed it is too.
Yep.
Because
good
direction. It pans a little bit and then you see Mandy.
In the background.
Like sort of out of focus, but in the background, like watching them read it. Yeah, this is my favorite scene so far in this show.
Well, it's not that hard. Like, this show's a good show, but there isn't anything that sticks out about it.
Absolutely, but this
does. Up until this episode, this show has sort of been... I wouldn't say run... I guess I should say run of the mill. It's been an average, pretty good sitcom, just that it has Tim Allen and a really high production budget.
Yeah.
That's basically what it's been.
No, that's true.
With some conservative values thrown in there, some old angry white man right-wing stuff. To, you know, even out the comedy. But this moment really hit home. And I
love the joke it ends on, too.
His final joke in the scene is about how he's sad that Pluto isn't a planet anymore.
Yeah, because they're both, like, misty-eyed. And Vanessa's like, what did she say? She's like, you're kind of misty-eyed too. And he goes, no, I'm just sad that that Pluto's not a planet anymore.
Right.
Which in 2011, how many years after?
I feel like it wasn't.
It couldn't have been that many because no. Because if you made that joke now, it would be like, why?
Well, that's it's something that I discovered about my coworkers at the end of last school year when we were working on the solar system. We watched a lot of Bill Nye and all these other things. And
a lot of people still think it's a planet?
No. A lot of the teachers that I work with, my coworkers, are like still a little miffed about this whole thing.
Interesting.
Like, when we grew up, Pluto was a planet, so I think it's a planet. And I'm just like, but it's not. It's not a planet anymore. They said it wasn't, and they know more than you do. You learned that Pluto was a planet when you were a child, and now it's not.
Right.
We need to move on from this. It's not that big of a deal.
A lot of people learned that Albert Einstein didn't go to college, but he did.
Yeah.
Move on.
Anyways. The basic end of this is that we get Ed and Buzz Lightyear in Ed's office, and they are talking about how they can't wait for Eve next year. She's going to be taller. We might need to be teaching her a little bit of a fastball, swing the bat a little harder, all that stuff. And it's sort of a good bonding moment between them, and it just ends with Ed saying, all right, roll up your pant leg. I got this paintball gun.
Which is, we forgot to mention earlier, but that's how he deals with quote-unquote traitors. He shoots them point blank in the leg with a paintball gun.
Well,
he shot Kyle earlier because he voted
for the really, really smart listeners who are paying attention. I actually mentioned the paintball gun in our solid plot keywords from IMDb.
You did, sir. I apologize.
So I'm gonna go
verbal
over
SEO.
Yes, the plot keywords were softball team, got that, paintball gun, got that, reference to Mel Gibson,
got
nailed it.
It
reference to Khloe Kardashian. I didn't mention it. Totally happens.
It.
College application, big part. Reference to Virginia Woolf, also pretty big. The compound bow is barely in it, except for the Braveheart joke. And then there's the whining, which is Mandy's character in a nutshell. So that's generally in every episode. And that's kind of this episode of Last Man Standing. There isn't really anything else we need to talk about, except for the stinger at the very, very end. Was another good moment that just kind of put a button on this as my favorite episode so far, where Kristen comes in talking about how she wants to go to college, and it turns out that Tim Allen was actually looking into where she could go that's relatively close to their house.
Yeah, and I really like he like turns his laptop around to face her, and like it's a university website.
He also gets another jab in at Ohio State, where he's like, there are four universities within an hour drive of our house, and all four of them are rated higher than Ohio State.
Yep. And that wraps it up.
Yeah.
This was, I really, really, really dug this episode. I've watched this episode a few times now, and it still remains one of my favorites from season one for sure.
I mean, it legitimately gets me excited for another Kevin Nahench written episode or whenever he takes over as executive producer, because if this is the kind of show, if this becomes the normal quality of the show and it's not just what it's been so far and sort of what the next episode is as well.
Yeah.
Then we're just going to, this will be a show that has good moments, but you know, isn't outside the realm of normalcy for a sitcom.
Right.
But yeah, this episode was by far in a way my favorite episode of the show.
Yep.
That we've watched. It was the fifth episode of the first season. And I give it a 5 out of 5.
You did?
Yep.
All right.
Now we're into rating these, apparently.
I guess I'd have to say probably like a 4.5 out of 5 because I hate Ed Alzate in this episode.
That's true, yeah.
So it gets dinged a
little bit. I'm choosing to ignore
it. That's fair.
On IMDb, I was looking at the user ratings today because I was interested in seeing out of the first 5 episodes if this had the highest rating. And it was tied for the highest with the last Halloween Standing.
Weird, because that's a bad episode.
Bad episode title.
That's not one of my favorite episodes of this show, man. I gotta tell you what.
You can go listen to that again if you'd like to rehash our feelings about Last Halloween Standing. I hope that the next year's Halloween episode is called Last Halloween Standing again.
Last Halloween Standing.
Okay. that is our cue to end the episode.
Always ended on a Tyler Berry terrible joke. Why not?
Thanks for listening, guys. Make sure you check out our website at flyoverstate.org. Leave us a 5-star review or a 4-star review or a 3-star review. Don't leave us a 2 or a 1-star review. Unless you really feel the need to do so. But then if you are going to rate us a 1 or 2-star, let us know what we need to do to improve.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll take the criticism, but like actually be real about it and like tell us what we need to work on. Cool, man.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be coming at you again soon.
Yeah. Have a good night.
Peace out.